Are you quite done fiddling with your lights?
Oh, I trained as a priest, you know, in a seminary, so I'd like a good fiddle.
Starting the polarization early, I see.
Oh, there's my fucking head in this. We're recording this straight after Easter. Whenever you bring up the objective truth, the objective facts, the gods they're worshipping has allowed priests for decades to fuck little children in his own place of worship, and then has allowed his representatives on earth to cover it up. And these very same people who worship this god also take their moral direction from these people who are covering up child abuse. When you point this out to them, they get really pissed off. I don't know how anyone can continue to go to church and worship God knowing this. You know, I just don't. Then again, I've been atheist since I was born, so. Anyway.
So you're quite scared of controversy, isn't it?
It is. I'm a people pleaser. You know that.
Deep down.
I've been a people pleaser all my fucking life.
Well, you're also a little bit weird because you write reports on people that have no idea who you are. Leaving Catherine coffee.
So this is true.
For me.
Well, you should not be flying over from fucking Bali and taking things off my desk. Now, my bin.
I was rifling through your drawers, actually. Through your drawers. I won't reveal what I found in these drawers, but they aren't half as...
An engagement ring, maybe?
No, you can fuck right off.
See, for the watchers and possibly the listeners, well, for the listeners, Connor's wearing a baseball cap, and there's a reason for that, because on the top of his head, he's now got a massive thumbprint. Which he invited upon himself one day last week when he asked his beautiful, beautiful girlfriend, now fiance, Tamsin, to marry him. And she rather foolish. I mean, I always thought she was quite a clever girl, to be fair, because she's got a degree. She's now doing a master's and all that. She works in the business. I thought she was quite intelligent, but clearly she's not, because she said fucking yes.
Well, she knows where her bread is buttered.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit desperate of you to, bearing in mind that the watering hole was closed for business, so to speak, because you were, I can't remember why it was now, but now perhaps that's changed because you've finally given in and asked that most important question. So where's the wedding?
I don't know yet. I've been pushing for her every day. I'm like, should we just get married today? And she's like, but family. And I'm like, yeah, fuck your family. And then the next day. So is today the day we're getting married? So the answer to that is, I don't know. I don't know.
We had this conversation last week, didn't we? Honestly, if you can possibly swing a teeny tiny runaway to the hills wedding, do it, man. Honestly.
She's not against it, because I thank you, Chris Voss. So when you say that, are you against us just running away and eloping then? Well, no, I'm not against it. I'm confused now. Help me out. You really sound like you don't want us to get married, just us two. And it's been wonderful, so.
Excellent. Stop how you mean to go on, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, with that
little manipulation,
digression, I just could not resist, all things considered, because I had to sit on this for nearly a week.
Yeah, John knew. The renegade. I suppose that there'll be probably two sections of people listening to this. We've got the usual renegades that love us, adore us, and there'll be probably, oh, that's lovely, Connor. But then, because of the weird title that we're likely going to name this episode, there's going to be some brand new listeners that have received something rather odd in the post, trying to figure who the fuck sent me this.
And who are these people?
Who are these fucking weirdos?
Because what we sent was, we've been doing a lot of work recently because, I mean, social media, and I had this conversation with Connor a minute ago, but I'll just say it again now. Social media is a little bit like going down the pub, hoping to do some networking and get business, you know? So you get out of the pub, you chat shit, have a few beers, and if business crosses your way, you get into a conversation, then great, we'll do some business. That's social media marketing in a nutshell, as it's traditionally taught. The people doing best, by the way, with social media marketing are actually not doing social media marketing the way it's taught. What they're doing is traditional marketing on a social media platform. That is a very different, it's subtly different, but it's a very different proposition. And the people who are doing the best with social media marketing, the way social media marketing is taught, are doing the best selling social media marketing the way it's taught. It's very incestuous. It's a little bit like neurolinguistic programming, where the biggest success of NLP is selling NLP. In the real world, it's of limited utility. So anyway, we've been doing some pretty cool stuff, because, as I said, going down the pub, social media marketing, it's the same kind of behavior, same kind of skill set as well. Anyone can go down the pub and chat shit, in the same way as anyone can just go onto social media and chat shit and hope business comes your way. What we're doing, what we're teaching with direct mail and direct marketing in general, is more like going to, say, the state banquet with the Sultan of Brunei, with an aim to clinching a contract, build a new oil refinery. Superficially, it looks like going down the pub, just chatting shit over food and drink. But you really need a very different and very sharp set of skills to speak to the Sultan and get your end result, and maybe answer some very pointed questions skillfully and diplomatically. You know, you need the skills of diplomacy. You need the skills of cultural appreciation, sensitivity, all these different skills that superficially look like going down the pub having a chat, but really aren't. Well, that's a bit like direct mail. I mean, direct mail is like a power tool. No, it's great fun. It can do a lot of shit. Oh my God, you can do some damage with it if you don't get it right. A little bit like, you know, kids and guns. Kids can actually be taught to use guns very safely, but you don't leave untrained children to play with guns, in the same way as you really don't want untrained, unskilled people playing with direct mail, because you can lose a lot of money. That said, how powerful is it, Colin?
How powerful is a gun or direct mail?
Direct mail.
It's social media is a water balloon, and direct mail is an M82 Barrett 50 caliber sniper. The difference in power is vast and astonishing. The water balloon is good fun. Yeah, you have a good chuckle when you throw it at someone and it doesn't pop. You're like, oh, I get to pick it up and I throw it again, and that's you making your sales pitches and whatnot, not getting any sales. You're like, oh, I'll just do it again over and over again.
And over and over again.
It might pop, but then you've got to go back to the tap, fill up the water balloon again, you know, refill the content calendar with all of that shit, and hope that you're going to hit someone with the wet water balloon. All rather childish, pathetic, unpredictable. And rather
lack of control as well. I mean, you don't have control where all the water goes, do you? Just because everywhere. And you hope someone gets in the way.
Yeah. It just splats, goes everywhere. So it's all good fun, but all very unserious. There's a reason children enjoy it most. And I'm sure that there's people listening to this have a, I don't want to call them children, perhaps some people of my generation inside their companies. And they're twisting your ear, bending your arm. We should do more on social media. Can I get a video of you for the company page? And you're like, they might be onto something, because it's all I hear about, social media, social media, social media. So you give it a chance. And you're probably deep down a little sick and tired of it. But an M82 Barrett 50 caliber, John, you have an excellent little monologue about shooting someone in the head from umpteen miles away.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I think the world record for killing someone with a sniper rifle is about 2 miles now.
That seems insane, doesn't it?
It is. I mean, the bullets in flight for probably 3 or 4 seconds, maybe a little bit more. And a lot can happen in that time. And the patience required to just lie there with your spotter and wait for the opportunity to release the bullet. I mean, if we can just look at this with some moral objectivity and not think, yeah, but you're killing someone. Think about the technical challenges in getting a bullet into someone's head from 2 miles away. That's fucking fabulous. I mean, wow. I remember I met an ex-forces sniper at a business event. I was chatting to him for hours about it, and he says a lot of people, once they learn I'm a sniper, or was a sniper,
they kind of go a bit funny with it. This man's a trained killer. I was fascinated by the whole thing.
I didn't ask him anything about the people he killed. I wasn't that interested.
No.
But it's all the technology and the engineering behind making this fucking gun to put a bullet in someone's head. It's just incredible.
It is.
But that is how our marketing works. We called the book M82. We called the system M82 Sales Control Model.
For good reason.
For good reason.
The same as a sniper, a lot of preparation and research has to go in to merely get into position to pull the trigger, let alone all the technicalities that surround pulling the trigger itself, all of the calculations going with that, the amount of research that has to go into the targets, their whereabouts, what they're doing, perhaps what they do and don't enjoy. So you know several locations they may be frequenting on that day. Shit ton of research. Again, technicalities of pulling that trigger.
There's a fundamental difference as well. If you think about it, social media marketing, the way it's traditionally done, is all about you. People even say, hey, I'm just going to show up as me, tell my story, get people to know me at a deeper level. It's kind of bordering on narcissism. It's certainly self-absorbed. Whereas effective direct mail is all about the other person. So you have to research and write stuff to appeal to them. It's completely different. It's polar opposite.
I'd like to think those that are listening to this, that may be listening to this, but have received something in the post, share a lot of the same feelings we do around social media, how self-indulgent it can feel, how the thought of creating a content calendar with themed days can make you sick to your teeth.
Yeah.
And we understand that you've likely given it a shot, but I really hope they're as fed up as we are. Otherwise, we've fucking wasted a lot of money getting these packages into their hands. And it'd all be my fault anyway, because you had the good thought to throw them away, but I thought they were disgusting. Had to be returned to the original owner, with the rightful owners.
Well, I did a lot of work on these people and on figuring out what their pain was and what they're suffering with.
Well, you put.
I mean, there's nine. How many things?
Was it nine?
Oh, there's lots of symptoms, but there's nine core things they may be experiencing that are causing those symptoms. The underlying cause,
yes,
the illness, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, I need to. I'll be, for anyone listening to this, expect a phone call from me. So if you see any random numbers and you're afraid to talk to me, I wouldn't pick up, because I'd be going, did you get your package? But I suppose if you missed this, you likely did get your package. So should we talk about why we sent it to these individuals in particular? Because we sent it to, was it 23 in the end?
Well, I added a few to it, so it's probably nearer 30 by now.
Nearer 30. 30 hand-picked.
25, 28. Well, because we did what most people not can't do, but won't do, and that is we actually went out to find specific individuals we thought we could help, certain businesses, certain industries, and we know they're suffering from certain challenges. And some of it, it's an educated guess. You know, we didn't dig into everyone with extreme depth, but everyone is handpicked as the kind of person we'd probably like to work with. Men, women, etc.
And that's mainly their business model is essentially ready-made for the M82 system that we teach.
Oh, yeah.
Core control.
And more important, as important as that is, not only is their business perfect for M82, and we use it ourselves because their business looks very much like our business at that level.
Yeah.
But equally, we've chosen people whose clients, for the most part, are also like our business and their business. So anything we teach them, they can pass on. Not everybody, because there are some people who are a good fit, who are in businesses where they wouldn't want to teach what we
leak,
because it wouldn't be relevant. Well, and also, I mean, there's one guy, he cleans industrial cleaning of the exteriors of buildings. Yeah. Nothing we teach him. Is there really any use for cleaning buildings? Well, that's the small percentage. Most of the people
we would want as the, our kind of client. Their businesses look like our businesses. So they, because we eat our own dog food.
Yep,
we do what we teach and we teach what we do. So they can use what we teach and what we do and they can see it works because, hello, you've come on board with us. But also their clients, they can pass on what we teach them to their clients and they can do that. I mean, you know, they'll probably want to change the words and things because otherwise it'll look a bit silly. Because no one's going to think we're copying them.
No.
But it's an added bonus. What we teach is that they're transferable skills, transferable to their own clients.
Yeah, those they get a double whammy.
Yeah, such as, you know, for instance, a marketing agency. We approach a marketing agency. They can use what we do. They can also use what we do to teach to their clients.
Mm-hmm. So they get a 2-for-1 on the investment.
And we know it works. Absolutely, we know it works. Mm. And we can prove it. We have all the data and stuff.
Oh, and it's fun. It's fun. Yeah, but, yes, it's fun. But I do have to say, it's not for the faint-hearted. Certainly not for everybody. Sending direct mail isn't cheap in the same way social media is cheap.
No.
So you've got to be able to hold your nerve. You've got to be disciplined in follow-up. And, you know, these slight caveats, I'd rather bring them up now to any of these prospects that we've selected that may or may not be listening. Because we don't want to lead them on with the carrot.
Well, no, I would say
a genie bottle where you just make a wish and it all happens, because it's not. It's bloody hard work, isn't it, mate?
It's hard work and it's risky too, in the sense that you've got to be, I'm going to say this again up front, but anyone listening to this thinking, yeah, I'll give these guys a shot. You need to be prepared to lose money on your first few mailings. Because I get, about 2016, it was July the 3rd, I started working with a guy called Phil Agostino. So I got a little bit too chubby and I was, over the years, I'd got close to getting my six back, but hadn't quite made it. And I was 51. So I thought I'd work this guy. Now, the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, were really frustrating because nothing happened. I was doing what I was told, and I didn't lose any weight or any fat or anything. And I expected this. Phil warned me. But I knew it anyway. So I'd been training for 25 years. I knew how it worked. You've got to get the numbers right first, and then it starts work. So the first 3 weeks, it was still frustrating, even though I expected it and I knew why. It was still frustrating. I knew there wasn't a problem with Phil or what he was telling me to do. It was just that we didn't have the right numbers, and we couldn't get those right numbers without some trial and error. Well, it's the same with direct mail. You may hit pay dirt on your first time. Of course you might. The chances are you won't. Something will be wrong, and direct mail, unlike social media, is not free at the point of delivery. You, and worse than that, it's not like pay-per-click where you pay after someone clicks either. You pay up front. In fact, you start paying up front before you even get the damn thing in the fucking post. If you're not writing the copy yourself, you've got to pay a copywriter.
Yeah, and pay to play.
Yeah, it is. And it ain't cheap. I mean, if you find yourself a cheap copywriter who claims he or she is a direct response copywriter and they are cheap, you want to go somewhere else, because the good copywriters who are experienced and skilled at direct mail and direct response are not cheap. And they're not cheap because they know the value of what they do and they've been doing it probably for some time. So don't go onto LinkedIn and find a copywriter who says, yeah, I do direct mail, and trust them at their word. And they're cheap, you know, £20 an hour, because you're getting shit. You really are. And it ain't just about the copywriting. It's about the design, the layout, the whole concept of damn thing, how you package it, then getting it fulfilled and printed. I mean, it's a serious undertaking.
But that is why
you can't start cheap,
because of the details. The
but even cheap direct mail is far more expensive than free social media.
Let's
use the word expensive, because ROI is generally higher.
Of course,
it's upfront. You've got to front this damn thing.
Well,
and you've got to be prepared to get it wrong.
Cost per impression is a good way to look at it. So, for example, social media, your cost per impression is essentially free unless you have a rate per hour, and then you can work out backwards from there. So you spend 10 minutes putting a post together, you can work out how much of that time that's cost you. Then with how many people that's reached, you can work out your cost per 1,000 impressions if you extrapolate that out, if you are even getting 1,000 impressions. But for argument's sake, let's just call it free, because the majority of people do not value their time, which is a whole other issue in and of itself. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Google, they all vary. Let's call it £10 for 1,000 impressions, maybe 20, depending on the audience size, but let's call it a tenner. To get yourself in front of one person with our systems, I think the cheapest you can do it for is around £1.50.
Something like that, yeah.
So,
perhaps a bit less if you're using a second class stamp and an envelope and a handwritten note. Let's say, call it a quid.
Second class stamp, yeah, 75p. Envelope is 5p. Paper, about 8p. Handwritten. So, yeah, let's call it a quid if you're willing to put in the work. So that's £1,000. That's your cost per impression. Cost per 1,000 impressions.
50 times as much.
Yes.
50 times as much.
Quick maths.
And you've got to pay it up front.
Yep. And shit can go wrong.
And it's actual cash out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or on your credit card. So yeah, it's and that's actually a good thing, by the way. And anyone who's listening to this thinking, fuck, I'm not doing that. It's a good thing it's like that, because it deters chavs, peasants and commoners from doing it.
One of the many reasons I got out of the agency game, and for those that are listening for the first time, my history of in running social media agencies, and the fact that, you know, I'm here today and I'm doing this with John, despite my history being social media agencies, that side of things should tell you a whole story in and of itself. But one of the many reasons I left that insipid, disgusting, awful industry was the barrier to entry was so low in terms of clients doing it themselves and competitive businesses starting up. It was so low. And I was like, do I really want to be in a game that is that easy to take part in?
No.
It's full of chavs, peasants, commoners, and it ruins the whole thing. Much like, it's like any good beach. As soon as the fucking Benidorm cunts find it, it's ruined.
Yeah.
No. So we choose to play games with a higher barrier to entry because it means fewer people are playing, and therefore the ROI, the leverage you get in return for your effort, time and money, is a lot higher.
And the stakes are higher too. Got to stress that one. I agree. Absolutely. The stakes.
Yeah, but that's our nature, isn't it? We're as a pair of lifetime marketers, essentially. That means our whole life is essentially one big gamble.
I mean, I would say to people, if people want to start direct mail themselves, the easiest thing to do is just to send a letter written on good direct response principles, Google it, to your existing customers and past customers who've been active in the last 12 months. If you want to do anything more complicated, I strongly suggest you at least speak to me and or Connor before you do anything more complicated. Because even if we don't want to work with you and we're not a fit, we'll point you in the direction of people who are at least competent and can help you. Mm-hmm. If you try and find these people yourself, you are going to almost certainly make a mistake. Because you don't know what you don't know about this game. You just don't. And nor do they.
I would encourage anybody who isn't like, no, I'm sold. Let's have a conversation. Anyone that isn't like, fuck yes, and is a little bit hesitant, I would strongly encourage you try and send some direct mail yourself if you're fed up with being reliant on the generosity and kindness of tech overlords and algorithms and AI shite. I strongly recommend you go and try the direct mail yourself. Because one of two things will happen. One, you'll get a little bit of response, especially if you pick who you're going to send this mailing to. If you put some time and effort into that, or you'll fail tremendously. And that's self-serving, because then I hope you come running to mummy and daddy over here on this podcast going, please tell me where I went, bro. And we'll have
to. Hey, which one are you?
I'm too late. I'm daddy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't want to be mummy. From his
the eyes.
Stuck on his dick.
You got the eyes for it. They're mothering eyes.
Oh, we need to go, I suppose.
We do. So, if you're a long-time renegade, we'll see you inside the group, the community. But if you're a first-timer that's received weird shit in the post and you're trying to figure out who the fuck we are, pull out the report we sent you and follow the instructions on the very last page. And we'll talk to you soon.
Simple enough. It's so simple, even a social media marketer could do it.
Well, hey, that's a good one. Why have we not said that more often? I'm sure there's a good how many social media marketers does it take to change a light bulb somewhere. We'll save that. I'm going to research that and I'll bring it.
Yeah. There's a lot of jokes on the horizon here, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. Anyway, this is the Evil Genius, by the way. He owns half of the business, right. Well-fed business. And I'm Connor Benham. I've got the other half.
He's the CEO.
And he's my lazy chief of marketing, head of copy, who writes these reports, 30 of them a week minimum, and puts them in the bin.
What he's trying to say is, I'm the guy who has all the ideas and he's the one who takes the credit for them.
Of course, like any good CEO. And on that note, we'll see you later, alligators.
Bye, honeys.